This year, we know the United States is taking time to look back at the nation's history, to consider the present in this light, and to commit to a future rooted in the dreams and promises of the past, and especially to learn the lessons of the many mistakes and the many milestones along the way. Many of us remember the worldwide celebrations marking the move to a new millennium from the 20th to the 21st century. And as always, it was a time of reflection and not only flashing fireworks. In England, as we might expect, many institutions brought British history to the forefront in order to consider, contemplate, and learn lessons from them. Guy Wilson, who was then master of the armories, relates one story of just such a project. He tells us, "The Royal Armories is Britain's oldest national museum. It grew out of the arsenal of the medieval monarchs of England housed in the Tower of London. An organization that equipped this country's armed forces," he tells us, "has developed a museum that has as one of its main purposes to display the hardware of war. And through this, the encouragement of an understanding of what war really is and what it means and what it does to the people involved in it." We were looking for an appropriate way for the Royal Armories to commemorate the millennium. We had decided that as we moved into a new century, we should be doing something new. We had decided that we wanted to do something of lasting value that we could continue to use. That was the easy part. Now we had to think. I began to consider the possibility of a musical commission, something we could use in our continuing educational work, something through which, by involvement and performance, we could deal with some of the historical and moral issues raised by our subject. But I got no further. Then Bob Smith, our head of collection care, and a great enthusiast for early music, came to see me. He'd already organized several series of concerts for us in our new museum in Leeds, and he had an idea to celebrate the millennium by putting on a series of concerts featuring some of the Lomarmé masses of the late 15th and 16th centuries. This we decided to do. Lomarmé is a song written at the court of Charles the Bold of Burgundy between 1450 and 1463. Soon afterwards, a cycle of six masses was written, five using parts of the melody of Lomarmé. The sixth, including the tune, the whole tune, thereafter, and then until the end of the 16th century, over more than 30 masses were written using the tune of the song in some way. The theme that the armed man must be feared, which is the message of the song, seemed to me painfully relevant to the 20th century, and so the idea was born to commission a modern armed man mass. What better way, within the framework of a musical and liturgical form, both to look back and reflect as we leave behind the most war-torn and destructive century in human history, and to look ahead with hope and to commit ourselves to a new and more peaceful millennium. And so the idea developed to combine within the basic mass form a variety of poetry and prose and a wide range of musical styles reflecting the multicultural global society in which we live, in an attempt to create a work that dealt in an inclusive way with a theme of universal interest and relevance. The challenge then was to create a coherent work that tells a story, makes people think, and tugs at the heartstrings. They turned to composer Carl Jenkins, and he created for them The Armed Man, a Mass for Peace. As we heard, the mass begins with a marching army and the beat of military drums, the orchestra gradually building to the choir's entrance, singing the 15th century theme tune, The Armed Man. The Benedictus heals the wounds that we learn about in the course of the Mass in its slow and stately affirmation of faith and leads us to the final positive climax of the work. That from Guy Wilson, who was master of the Royal Armories at the turn of the millennium, describing the museum's contribution to that moment in history, a moment that still echoes through the decades to our present. We'll soon hear about a musical ensemble which takes its name from a symbolic location in the ancient world, a kind of pastoral, idyllic paradise inhabited in the common understanding by peaceful shepherds, living a simple, happy life filled with rustic music and pleasures and in harmony with nature. The Arcadia Chorale, based here in Northeast Pennsylvania. But as we have learned and are coming to learn, the mythical place called Arcadia is never completely isolated from the violent political realities of civil war and history. That is, if we read Virgil in his poetry, shepherds are actively being evicted from their idyllic lands due to political upheavals and land confiscations in and by Rome. So, war and peace. War and peace. Are we doomed to repeat this endless cycle? The Arcadia Chorale is fulfilling its mission to bring the region the highest quality performances of music that delights us, entertains us, and often helps us feel the paradoxes of what it means to be alive, to be human. Summer Sing 2026 will be held this weekend in Scranton, bringing together singers who are invigorated by the art of making choral music and bringing others in. Sue Minsavage is a singer with the Arcadia Chorale and chair of its Dr. Stephen Thomas Memorial Fund. And Dr. Joshua Harper, who is director of choral activities and assistant professor at Wooks University, as well as artistic director of the Choral Society of Northeast PA, is guest music director for this year's Summer Sing Festival. They stopped in at the WVIA studios to explain the concept of Summer Sing and to talk with us about the featured work, The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace by Carl Jenkins.
This is actually our fifth Summer Sing, which is a little hard to believe. Time really flies when you're having fun with all this music. And it actually was born out of the fact that we, uncharacteristically as a nonprofit, had extra funds. So when our late music director, Dr. Stephen Thomas, who happens to be my late husband as well, when he passed, when I came back to the area, the chorale had big intentions of doing something in his honor. So they asked me what would be most appropriate. They had suggested perhaps a scholarship, that type of thing. And I said, yes, I thought that would be wonderful. Stephen had been on the faculty at Wilkes University, and his artistic inclinations always extended to any of his students, no matter what their major was. He did the chorus there, just like Dr. Harper does now, and it serves the students across the university. So we decided that a scholarship would be the best way to honor him. So we did some wonderful fundraising, and to my great delight and surprise and such a humbling experience as well, we raised more money than we needed for the scholarship. We were able to endow that with the Scranton Area Community Foundation, so we have no problem funding the scholarship for our Arcadia student singers. So we had a little bit of extra money left, and we thought, well, what's something we can do with this? So we looked at the schedule for the choral season and, you know, recognized that it's a very busy choral season in Northeast PA, but in the summer, there's a little bit of a lull. So we thought, well, that might be a good time to do it. And we wanted to do something a little bit more involved than a y'all come just show up and read through something. We actually wanted to do a, almost like a mini festival, sort of loosely based on the PMEA districts and regionals model. But we didn't want it to be auditioned. So that was the notion. So we basically have our community singers, our student singers register. They get their music in advance. They're expected to learn that music so that when they come to Summer Sing, they get a day and a half of rehearsal. We're able to put that repertoire together at a higher level than just a, you know, show up and kind of read through, which that model is also very fun, but that we wanted something more educationally based with Summer Sing. So that's what we do. And this year, like I said, this is our fifth anniversary year of this, and we're doing the choral suite from Carl Jenkins' The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace. And I am thrilled that we have our guest music director, Joshua Harper, to lead the group. And I think everyone who's going to come to be part of the festival is going to have an excellent musical experience, but also an excellent experience of camaraderie and coming together from our disparate groups. You know, we cross-pollinate a lot in NEPA, where the Choral Society and Lyric Consort and Arcadia Chorale and Marywood Choirs and Wilkes Choirs, et cetera, you know, there's a lot of crossover, but we don't always sing together. So this is really a wonderful chance to do that. I'm most proud of the fact that we do offer student scholarships for this. So any student who needs funds, we can give them a waiver. They can participate and eat for free because we don't want cost to be any sort of barrier.
Yes.
We will feed you and you will sing. So we're so excited that we can do that. And that comes from those funds I was talking about where we had that extra money that the Dr. Stephen Thomas Memorial Fund that we established is the main underwriter of Summer Sing. So we're able to offer, you know, free participation and meals for students, but also we keep the cost low for our adult participants so that that's not a huge barrier as well. So I'm very proud to be a part of it. And again, thrilled that we're about to do our fifth one.
When you were asked to serve as guest director this year, Joshua, is this a work that you've done? Is this a work that you know?
So yeah, I know this piece from graduate school. It's one of the things, kind of one of the contemporary mass settings that showed up both in my master's and my doctorate. It's such an interesting piece because I think everyone knows Britten's War Requiem really well, and that's a really important piece in the canon. But then it turns out there's been another kind of anti-war mass written, and it's this Carl Jenkins, The Armed Man. And the fact that it incorporates the L'Homme from the 15th century is so important because we always study that as well in the early parts of a graduate seminar. And so it's a really unique work because of how it kind of posits itself within music history and embeds itself into existing works, but then is totally fresh and new in this 21st century lens that I think had been missing from the canon.
How does the choral suite differ from the complete mass?
Well, the original piece is about 63, 65 minutes long. It's big. It's really amazing. And I hope everyone who may have the opportunity to ever hear it live would go. But it takes large forces to put up, similar to the War Requiem in many ways. And so whether it was the composer, Carl Jenkins, or the publisher, Boosey and Hawkes, I think someone came up with a good idea and said, let's make a choral suite version of this because especially the mass movements, they're really stunning. And they're great writing. They're very accessible. And it just gives the work another way to be presented. And I think it's being presented more and more because they moved it to this 5-movement choral suite, just more accessible and able for organizations to put up.
As a singer, Sue, what are you experiencing as you prepare this work? You, too, have been given your parts and you have to learn them before you show up, right?
Absolutely. And Joshua, you know that I studied it very, very diligently.
Yes.
And the altos are going to totally rock this choral suite.
I have no doubt.
Actually, Joshua was teasing me last night. We had a rehearsal and there are some beautiful alto lines in this suite. And he said, oh, I wonder who picked this, meaning me. Because if you can't tell from my voice, I am an alto. But so what I get from it, I am a trained musician. And so I sing material that sometimes can be a little esoteric to some ears, perhaps, or a little bit more involved from a musical technical standpoint. But I also like to do these type of community sing type of things. And when I was looking at the repertoire and we were picking the repertoire for this summer sing, the main work, the huge, you know, hour long work is such a beautifully constructed piece that brings in texts from various places, brings in musical influences from various places. It's a really kind of global piece, but we only have limited time to rehearse. So when I saw that there was a choral suite, I thought, oh my goodness, this might be the thing to do because it's half an hour worth of music for us to rehearse. So as a singer, the musical lines are immediately, as Joshua said, accessible. They're not so demanding that you spend so much of your time trying to figure out the technical aspects of it, which, of course, for summer sing, we need to be able to dive right into the music making. But it's also Jenkins' style is so almost cinematic. There's definitely like a music score quality to some of this stuff. There's lots of percussion. There's brass. It's big and very emotive in very effective ways. So what I get from the entire experience is I'm already able to hear what this choir is going to sound like without having to wade through a bunch of technical difficulties.
In reading through the libretto, there's a Muslim call to prayer, there are mass movements, a Kyrie and Sanctus, and a text by Rudyard Kipling. So these words are really wide-ranging.
It is. And again, some of the ones you mentioned are not included in the choral suite, but that's, I think, the impetus behind it is so important. And that's one of the things that Jenkins did really well, was try to incorporate all these other ways that religions plea for peace and then surround it around the mass ordinary of the Roman Catholic Church, Kyrie, Gloria, Sanctus, etc. So for our choral suite, we do mostly focus on the mass movements, Kyrie, Sanctus, Benedictus, Agnus Dei. But he did include the hymn before action, which is the movement that has a text by Rudyard Kipling. And that is such an interesting interjection in so many ways. Sue and I were talking about why that movement as the only non-Latin mass movement. And I think it's because it's really interesting how it juxtaposes, if you think about the Kyrie, which is very plaintive, it's very based off of chant, it includes the Lomarme. And then here we get to the hymn before action, and it's very Hollywood. There's a brashness to it. It's very epic. And that musical juxtaposition pairs really well with the contrast in the lyrical juxtaposition, because a Kyrie is a plea for mercy, but this text by Kipling is really more of a mortality mindset in somewhat of a dark way, but also really talking about the darkness that does come with war. We ask for peace, but why are we asking for peace? Because we're often in conflict. And so I think the inclusion of the Kipling text is really poignant, because it does bring in that darkness. But then what we've decided to do with the ordering of the movements is we're going to follow that up with the Benedictus, which is just absolutely stunning. It's the most probably known movement of the entire work. It gets done just in isolation quite often. It has a stunning cello solo that we're really excited to present. And so I think that's why they included the Kipling text as kind of the non-mass ordinary, because of how it juxtaposes both musically and lyrically, but really helps, I think, a listener and audience member come full circle throughout the process.
If I may, there's also a connection to the Lomarme text. So the original secular French song from, you know, circa 1450-ish was used as the cantus firmus for a lot of Renaissance masses. But when you look at the poetry, it, depending on how the person setting the music wants to, whatever their perspective is, it can be a message of threat. We need to arm ourselves against people coming in threatening us. But it also can be seen as we are the ones who need to stand firm and maybe not be the aggressor, but you know, we're the ones who are the proponent of the conflict. So depending on whether or not you're the saving warrior or you're trying to protect yourself from invasion, it really depends on the perspective you want to take. So when you look at him before action, you can very easily make a jump to what is the soldier's perspective, where we have to be strong, we have to gird ourselves against these threats. And we need courage to do that. And this may not end well, but we're willing to give our lives to do this, which, of course, in our contemporary society, you know, our men and women in the services do that exact same thing so many, many, many years later. So there is that component as well. So an interesting juxtaposition against the mass parts.
When you say, Sue, that so many Renaissance masses use Lomarme tune as a fundament, does that mean there's something particularly useful about its structure to allow such flexibility? So many composers, so many ideas on how to use it.
Dum bum 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 bum. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was one of the most famous tunes used for these cantus firmus masses. So Joss Kahn has a cantus firmus mass based off of it. Dufay has one. Palestrina has one. It was really kind of almost a rite of passage back in that early, late medieval, early Renaissance time. It was probably an academic exercise of write your Lomarme mass. And so it's really interesting how it was used as the kind of germ, the idea of so many of these early masses. And then it's really interesting how Jenkins does use that in the larger work. They sing the full Lomarme tune before going into the Kyrie, which is where Jenkins embeds that tune into the Kyrie. And so that's how he starts to spin it out on his own, we're really excited because both Sue and I felt like the Lomar May tune, the audience needed to hear it in order to understand it, but it's not included in the choral suite. So what we're really excited to present on Saturday is we're going to present actually an original arrangement of the Lomar May by Arcadia Chorale singer Rebecca Elfman. She composed this just for this event. It's going to be sung by the Arcadia Chorale as well as students from the Wilkes University Chamber Singers. And so it's going to be a way for us to get the tune in the audience's ear, but also for us to showcase one of our great regional composers who just said, absolutely, and whipped something out for us. So that's actually going to be an original premiere that we're also offering on this concert Saturday.
We have such a wealth of talent in our region and in Arcadia Chorale specifically that I'm associated with. But of course, Joshua does the choirs at Wilkes University, and we're thrilled that a lot of those students are coming to be part of this as well. But it's really something that Summer Sing does very well, where we bring in the resources from all these various groups, and we're able to showcase these talents. In addition to Rebecca's arrangement, which, shout out to Rebecca. I mean, literally, she put this together because I said, would you mind taking a look at this? And she did it for us, and it's beautiful. We rehearsed it last night. We have that premiere happening, and we also have special guest instrumentalists who are coming as part of the first part of the Summer Sing program. We're going to have some of our Summer Sing orchestra playing a couple of the movements from the musical Offering, which is fantastic. That's Gabriel and Linda and Ed, and our audiences will recognize them. And we're also having the Beverly Trio, which is Harold and Gail and Tom. They're going to be performing a piece called 5 Minutes for Stephen, which Harold Levine wrote this piece in honor of Stephen Thomas. And they played this piece on the inaugural Summer Sing. So we thought, well, let's bring this back for the 5th year anniversary. And I am personally just, I cannot express my gratitude enough to these fine individuals who are good friends and excellent musicians and so giving of their time and talent for this Summer Sing event, because they too have a dedication to education and artistry in the region. So we have our instrumentalists coming back year after year. We have our singers coming back year after year. And I just, my goodness, the talent that we have in this region is extraordinary.
Rounding out that first half of the program is going to be a set by Arcadia Chorale featuring Petoni, the Brahms Geistliches Lied, which is just always a treat if you can ever hear it, as well as some Cole Porter. So that's what I'm really excited about this concert is, while, yes, you should come for the Jenkins Mass, that's the centerpiece, that's what the community is coming to learn and to sing with us this weekend, there really is a stunning first half of the concert, kind of a large appetizer, if you will, leading into the choral orchestral work. And I'm just so excited to have that opportunity to collaborate and to hear these musicians as well. It's going to be a really fine concert.
Tell us a little bit more about what a student singer will be able to absorb from the opportunity to do a work like the choral suite from the Jenkins Lomar May Mass.
The main thing is, I think, really just trying to teach them about the idea of a cantus firmus mass. It's very interesting. In the Kyrie, like most Kyries of those masses, it's in three parts: Kyrie, Christe, Kyrie. And the Christe is, really interestingly, it's a great piece of counterpoint. It's actually probably one of the more difficult passages in the entire Mass. And Jenkins actually labels in the score, after Palestrina. And it's really a compositional exercise a la the style of Palestrina, utilizing this tune, again, kind of feeding into this idea of a cantus firmus Mass and doing that exercise himself. He wrote the Mass in 1999. It was premiered in 2000. And so we're still doing that here today. It might be a bit of a stretch, but I really like to talk to students who are, 18 to 22 year olds who are studying music. They know this idea of sampling, because in pop music and rap music today, people will take tunes from the 70s and 80s all the time and sample it and loop it and utilize it and recreate it. I mean, it's happening all the time. Britney Spears just did one with Elton John, okay? They do this a lot, and this idea is actually not new. The concept of sampling as they know it is what these composers were doing in the 15th and 16th century. And I think for me as an educator, because I'm an educator, I love being able to make that connection for them, but I love that they're able to see it in a modern day setting. I love the Dufay. I can't wait to do it one day. But I love for them to see that music is still doing this today, and it was done in the 16th century. And again, these worlds, these genres of music are nowhere near as disparate as they think they are. And so I was excited when I learned that this was the rep, because it's great to be able to tie that in for them to hopefully hear and realize. And that's why I'm so excited Rebecca wrote the arrangement for us, because I think it'll just drive it home even more, both for the audience and the young singers and the choir, to see what that compositional technique is and all the many ways they can utilize it. Because they can do it in pop music without thinking about it. They could probably do it in classical choral writing just as easy if they wanted.
Joshua, you just said that young singers can benefit from experiencing 16th century sampling, so to speak, but also veteran singers. And that means you too, right, Sue?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, listening to Joshua speak on that just hits home for me how much music, like many other arts, but maybe characteristically in this sense, a little bit more uniquely, it's a living art. And a lot of times when we think about classical with a capital C music, you know, we think of concepts rather than people. So here we have two composers. We have Rebecca and we have Harold. They're living composers who are making new music for us, or taking existing music and arranging it. This is actually a human being did this thing. We are all human beings in the room together singing, using our physical instruments of our voices. Especially for our students who might not get the chance to sing with orchestra, which I am blessed that I've been able to sing with orchestra many, many times, but this may be the first time they've ever done that. These are actual people playing a trumpet. These are actual people playing an organ, you know, and it's looking at those folks and seeing physically what they need to do to create those sounds, feeling those reverberations in your own body, hearing a singer who might be more advanced than you so that you have a model. That's one of the things that the chorale is hoping to achieve with this Summer Sing model, is that those of us who are, and you were very kind to call me a veteran singer and use the word maturity, but yeah, I'm an old goat at this. And I once was young, and I would have killed to have sung with an orchestra when I was in high school. And I think that that's one of the things we're hoping to present to folks, is that there's that modeling that we can do for one another. And, you know, for myself, you never sing better than when you're singing with good singers. This is such a wonderful opportunity for me to improve, for every single singer to improve, because you're in the room together and you're hearing it and you're making something.
And this is actually really the kind of plea or selling that I would ask people to come to this concert on Saturday. Okay, come, one, because we're performing some really great music, and I think you will really enjoy what we are doing and what we are sharing and what this piece offers. It is indeed very cinematic, very accessible. But also, as someone who's really peripherally affiliated with Arcadia, I'm so grateful that they put this event on, because it really is a service to our entire community, where students and singers from the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania and Wilkes, we all come together, we all get on the same team, and Arcadia Chorale invests the time and resources to hire an orchestra, to lend their fantastic solo singers like Gabby Tolarico to come and you know, be the backbone of this performance, but they get to be a part of something magical in 36 hours. And that is just such a unique offering that I've not seen in any of the communities that I've been a part of. And so when I found out that Arcadia was doing this when I moved here, I've sung in the Summer Sing the last 2 years just because I love that they do this. And I think for anyone who's maybe on the fence about coming, it's so fantastic for especially the young singers who invest all of a Friday night and then a full Saturday of their summer to then walk out onto the stage at Covenant and to be with an orchestra and to see an audience out there. It's just such a cool thing that we do. It's a unique thing that we do. And I hope that we all can celebrate that, whether it's by participating or attending this weekend. I'm super grateful to Arcadia that they've made this event happen year after year.
Let's not close without talking more about the need for people to make music about war and peace, because war is a perennial issue in human life. And the timeliness of a work like this right now makes it even more poignant.
Unfortunately, it is a perennial problem. And since the dawn of humanity, I think, you know, conflict comes with the territory. We find ourselves now as Americans facing that very, very starkly. And I think it weighs on all of us. And I think that when we were looking at picking the repertoire, you know, if you're a singer and you've been singing for a long time, like myself, you sing mass after mass after mass, and they're wonderful, and they all have their unique selling points and their beauty and their technical demands and all of that sort of thing. But this piece was coming out of that tradition where the mass is really an anti-war thrust. It was written actually and dedicated to the victims of the Kosovo crisis. So it's this notion of we can't forget about the after effects of these conflicts, right? There's always going to be consequence to conflict. Whether that conflict is justified, whether you feel like it's not justified, it doesn't matter. There are always going to be consequences. And those consequences, again, are human. So we share that, and I think we all can really come to a point, I think, where we all do want conflict to cease. Whether we feel like the conflict is necessary or not, we do want conflict to cease so that there is peace. And that's what we're after here this weekend.
Jenkins wrote the piece, he said, in reflection of the most war-torn and destructive century in human history and his hope that less war would happen in the future. It's poignant, as he also states, that the recording of this work that you have here was released on 10 September 2001. And so there's this hope that there will be less war, and then the next day something like September 11th can happen, and we're reminded that war is a part of humanity, for better or almost always for worse. And that's where I think this mass is very powerful, because it is an unfortunate reminder of that, but also I think you get to the moment in the Benedictus at the Hosanna in Excelsis, and it is so powerful, and it is so stirring, and it is so just pleading, imagining that that world is better, that there could be less war in the future, because we can't give up on that hope. We absolutely cannot. And I think that that's something that we need when we live in the times that we live in. But if I can do a complete pivot, but try to bring it back, this is why I love the World Cup, which is happening right now here in the USA, because you're watching teams like Iran play in American soil and play a national anthem, and there is a lot of conflict in that thing that is happening today, but it is also a reminder that there is thing, whether it is sport or, let's bring it back, music, that ultimately can unite us, that can bring us together, that can help us come around the idea that there is something better out there, and it is our job as humans to try and find it every single day that we're alive. And that's what we're doing by coming together and singing together this weekend on Saturday.
Please review the date and time for us, Sue.
So the concert is going to be at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton, and the concert is at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening, June 20th. Students of any age are always free for Arcadia Chorale events, but that $10 charge, it's a minimal charge. It's just to help us cover our expenses. And any profit that we make from it, which is usually we don't make any profit from this, that's not the intent, but anything that we get will sponsor next year's Summer Sing. So we will be soliciting donations if folks like to do that. We do have two, I won't mention their names, but we have two wonderfully generous concert sponsors for Summer Sing this year. They're friends of the chorale and have been generous over these 5 years to help us put this together for the students. But you can come to Covenant on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. It's about an hour's worth of music. You'll get out in time to go ahead and go out with your friends afterward. But it's a lovely way to spend an evening, and it supports our student and community singers.
The tune that started it all, Loma Me. We just heard from Sue Min Savage, who is a singer with the Arcadia Chorale and chair of its Dr. Stephen Thomas Memorial Fund, and Dr. Joshua Harper, who is director of choral activities and assistant professor at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre, as well as artistic director of the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania. And he is guest music director for this year's Summer Sing Festival. They came to the WBIA studios to talk with us about the concept of Summer Sing in its fifth year, and also about the featured work, The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace by Carl Jenkins. Again, the Arcadia Chorale presents Summer Sing 2026, featuring The Armed Man, a Mass for Peace choral suite by Welsh composer Carl Jenkins. And that's this Saturday, June 20th, at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton. There'll be featured soloists, orchestra, and all of these wonderful singers coming together to make this music for all of us. Summer Sing 2026 at 7 o'clock in the evening, this Saturday, June 20th, at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton. And for more information on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org.